Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to it,
welcome to Strange Shrouds Secret Universe, Mort Hatfield. I got a gentleman with us tonight that he's one of my favorites. He's opened a lot of minds, and not only in this country, but the world. Let's bring him on. The amazing Fritz Springmeier.
Hey.
Good evening, Fritz. Hey.
Good evening, Lauren.
Hey, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, another beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Problems all over the world, as you know. The global economic meltdown continues. And our government, I don't know, some of your listeners may be aware of this or not, but the government came out with these health care codes, ICD-10s. And there's just, you know, there's like 20 pages for some little, these are just different codes, you know, like if you have a problem with your ear, there's all these massive amount of codes that the doctor has to wade through to get insurance. Like, if you have a problem in your left ear or your right ear, they got to differentiate. Well, there's no doctor in small town practice is going to be able to take the time to go through these thousands of codes to get the insurance. It's just going to put a lot of doctors out of business. And this seems to be so common with what our government's doing, is just across the board in so many different ways, the government's just shutting everything down, you know, making it hard for people to function and operate and make a profit. And
exactly.
It reminds me of, and this is kind of humorous in a way, but during World War II, the Allies had a massive bombing campaign against German cities. Now, you know, from a moral standpoint, it was pretty immoral just to carpet bomb cities. But the Germans actually did get one benefit from it, and that is the Nazi government was very similar to our government today in that they demanded so much paperwork, you know, in this form in triplicate and asking hundreds of minutia questions, you know, to keep tabs on everything. And it impeded the German economy. These companies had a hard time producing because they spent so much time on their paperwork. Well, then when they got bombed, they had the excuse, well, our records got destroyed in the bombing. And it just freed them up to actually do what they needed to do without having to bother about the paperwork.
Exactly.
maybe some of these Arabs that are coming, these Muslims that are coming in, maybe they'll bomb some of our factories and make them more efficient.
Oh, man, ain't that crazy, though? Now, Fritz, this medical that you're talking about, is it all linked to Obamacare? Because there was, as you answer this, there's a thing I wanted to tell you that I thought that was what's really interesting that's going on in Chicago right now. Well, it's been going on for years, and I wonder if it's all prison systems. I had a reliable source tell me that here in Cook County, a jail, that every inmate that goes through, no matter who it is, there's people at a desk ready to sign you up on Obamacare, like in mass. And whenever I got that information, I thought that was really interesting. Not only they pushed the whole. And it was a doctor thing, so a lot of people had the same doctors for years, and then a lot of people got canceled. But, the thing about it is when you're talking about the differentials, in the, the ears and, and the certain parts, they're collected. Do you think that it could be some kind of keeping a check on how preserved our organs are, because that's a big thing about organ donors and organs and harvested organs and all that. I mean, I know that's a big thing in China and stuff like that, but I think that it really happens hardcore, even in the States, especially with unborn children, as we've seen. And that's another point that I wanted to bring up tonight, is the everybody profiting off of abortions. No wonder they push the abortion, because heck, if they're making a bunch of money off, if they're making all this money off of it, I mean, wouldn't everybody want to promote it if they're really making the money? I mean, what do you think about that? And I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place, but there's so much I want to talk with you, man.
That's a reflection of what's been going on. Is just across the board in so many different areas, we see, I guess you, in a way you could call it a tax on the common person, and healthcare is part of it. But you walk into a store, and if you're really aware of what's healthy and how these products are laced or contaminated or whatnot, there isn't anything in the supermarkets that's wholesome anymore. It's just everything's going to work towards giving you cancer, is going to work at breaking down your immune system on and on. And there, and likewise, just with the healthcare, I'm afraid of having health insurance. I finally broke down and applied for Oregon healthcare just because I'm facing some problems, some medical problems, and I don't have very much income, and you can't even get into a doctor to get basic stuff, unless you can make appointments. And but when I did have insurance, consistently the things that the doctors tried to pull were dangerous instead of helping. Yeah. And I just encourage people to take responsibility for your life. Don't count on the doctor being there for you. And that's one of the problems for these doctors dealing with these new health care codes, which have no rhyme or reason to what they're labeled, the way doctors normally think of problems. Whoever wrote up the codes didn't write them down according to how the doctors would naturally look them up. And they have stupid stuff in there like a reindeer accident. So like if grandma does get run over by a reindeer, you got a code in there that the doctor can use. But don't think that doctor is going to be finding out new cures for you. He's going to be so busy with the paperwork, and they're just getting people distracted with the things that they shouldn't be distracted with. And so some of the things that they would maybe like to prescribe, they can't because their hands are tied by what they have to do in terms of insurance. So the doctors are, unfortunately, somewhat, they're a category that we used to trust, and now they're just front men for the pharmaceutical companies, you know?
Exactly.
And it's sad. And so, likewise, some of these other types of jobs where we trusted, you know, we used to look up to our soldiers because they were defending our country. And yet, you know, one of the things that I've been working on exposing and on working on deprogramming people with the trauma-based mind control, our super soldiers are across the board under this trauma-based mind control, which is a total mind control. And they're becoming just front men for the elite, you know. They're working on agendas that have nothing to do with protecting America. We have American bases all over the world and American troops everywhere snooping and getting into other people's business, doing agendas for the New World Order. I mean, you look at Afghanistan, which is the longest running war, and the guys that are supposedly our allies, did you see where they're coming on to U.S. bases? These are supposed to be the Afghani soldiers that are fighting on our side against the Taliban and all these evil groups, you know, supposedly.
Yeah,
they're coming on bases, and they're buggering little boys. And
yeah, I've seen that. That's disgusting. Well, what I've seen about though, Prince, is somebody told, there was a major general or something that was telling the United States soldiers to turn a blind eye, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. And so why are officers doing that? Why are officers telling their men that? Well, they're following orders because they're lackeys of these pedophile leaders that we have, you know, like the George Bush Sr. was a pedophile, and his double wasn't, but at least one of his doubles. He had a couple doubles, but these people are nasty people, and they're making policies that are disgusting. And we go into Afghanistan and talking about George Bush Sr., who was head of the CIA, his nickname was Poppy. So we go into Afghanistan, and then the poppy starts getting harvested, and the opium starts flowing around the world. And who's responsible for that? Our nation is. Absolutely, when you start thinking of what the United States is doing, it just makes you sick. It makes you turn your.
Don't we arm? Aren't those poppy fields in Afghanistan today armed by United States soldiers? And the United States government. But you know, a fun fact about George W. I have some family out in near Washington D.C. And I had my great aunt's daughter. She during the GW's presidency, the first one, she was deaf, and she was like, they had her as some kind of assistant or intern in there, and that always made me think, did they always have hearing impaired aides, so they wouldn't know what was going on, or you know what I mean? I thought that was always interesting, and that always stumped me my whole life about my cousin. And she was actually a aide because I used to go there to see Christmas pictures with them, and bushes and everything. So, you know, it was really, it was the real deal. My grandma actually had a Barbara Bush signed book. It's put up somewhere. She, you know, God rest her soul. But that's the thing is, you know, the older generation, it's like they're bought in and sold. The newer generation's more like, and you know, I hate saying this, they're either too dumb to know what's going on because they're so filled, you know, they're already, it's brainwashed, conditioned. Or when you mention these different things, you know, when we talk about the Illuminati, we talk about ritual abuse, mind control, human trafficking, because it all goes together. And a lot of people don't want to face the facts. They don't want to face the facts that so many children get abducted and get used in these rituals. They don't want to face the facts that it's going on and it was hidden for so long. You know, whenever you started out, hell, it wasn't even heard of. You know, I mean, it was, but behind closed doors. You was one of the guys that really, you know, in my eyes, it, you know, really turned the tables. But other than that, it's been really, you know, like a Freemason. Ask one, no one. You know, the information that, but there's dark powers ahead, for it, you know, and about this whole election thing too, and I don't want to talk much about politics, but I just want to ask you this real quick: do you think that Donald Trump is playing, is getting influenced by? Well, I mean, of course he is part of the elite, you know, but he acts like, you know, he's. I don't know. I'm just gonna let you. What do you think, Fritz?
Well, Donald Trump is saying a lot of things that nobody said publicly. It's refreshing to hear some of these things said, you know, calling a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. And he's not a politician, so he comes across really good. I still have... skepticism towards the whole thing. One thing is like in my Be Wise as Serpents book, one of the things I showed is in these presidential campaigns, all of the candidates are controlled by them, you know, and I would go back in my appendix in the Be Wise as Serpents book, and I would show how in, like, maybe in such and such election, all four or five candidates are Freemasons, you know, but there's other ways that people that are candidates connect in with the powers that should not be too. So it's not just being a Freemason, but you know. So I'm really skeptical looking at his history and how he was close to Hillary and so I'm just watching and waiting. But, you know, I'm like everybody else. I enjoy hearing him bring out issues and say things that we have not heard publicly before. We've known them, but, you know, so, he definitely, as president, strikes, if he was president, he would have to be better than Obama. that's not saying much. Obama's been, I can't imagine, you know, what the thing is I thought George Bush Sr. was bad, and then Clinton comes along and he's worse, and I'm like thinking, you can't get worse than Clinton, but then George Bush Jr. comes along and Jr.'s worse than Clinton, and then I'm thinking, well, nobody can be worse than King George II, and then it turns around and Obama's worse, and it's just like, how can we just keep finding, you know, I think we've reached the bottom of the barrel, and yet the barrel seems to have deeper levels to it, so I'm just wondering what's coming next, and Wow. And so you got this new Cold War going on. And people have asked me, you know, I've gotten a lot of people ask me, well, is Russia for real or are they part of, are they controlled? And if they're controlled, how? And I keep telling people, this is Hegelian dialectics. You know, and the what happened with Hitler and Nazi Germany is such a good representation for what's going on now. You go back and you look at Brown Brothers Harriman and Prescott Bush, you know, the
Nazi funding
how Hitler got funded and how they made profits, you know, the Bush family.
Henry Ford was a big contributor too.
And so, you know, and then you look, and this is one of the things that I was talking about in the 90s in my public talks, was about how Germany's economy during the war, this is during the war when they're supposed to be our enemies, there was a Trading with the Enemies Act which allowed special select people like the Rockefellers, Onassis was another person. These people were allowed to trade with the enemy, and if they hadn't supplied particular goods to Germany, the war would have ended at least a couple years earlier than it did.
Yeah.
And one of those, I talked about how the diamonds from Belgium Congo, which the Allies had control of Belgium Congo, but those diamonds, industrial diamonds, millions of carats, were shipped into Germany so that they could build gyroscopes. Gyroscopes are needed for submarines and airplanes and missiles and tanks, even tanks. The German Panthers and Tiger tanks use gyroscopes when they buttoned down and that tank headed out to you know, the tank commander pointed the tank in a particular direction. It was a gyroscope that kept it on track as that tank moved forward. And those gyroscopes needed diamonds to work with, and those diamonds were provided through the Allies. So just so much like this. So now, fast forwarding, and we look at what's happening in Russia, you'll see that the Russian economy is being helped quietly by these elite companies. They are coming in, providing the technology for Russia's economy to stay competitive. And then you may have seen where I wrote an article where I was telling people how, like here in the United States, we have the Council of Foreign Relations, right?
Yeah.
And in Europe, they call the equivalent of the CFR in England's the Royal Institute of International Affairs. It's also got a nickname, Chatham House. But all these countries have their own equivalent of that, and Russia does too. They have the Council on Foreign and Defense Policy, which the acronym is CFDP, and it was established after Gorbachev took the USSR down and you know, it shrank and became Russia. You know, Gorbachev, as a lot of our listeners may know, Gorbachev was publicly in favor of a new world order, the same kind of world order that the Bushes and Clintons are working for. And so the chairman of the CFTP was a member of the U.S. Trilateral Council, you know, and on the Advisory Council of America, CFR. So, you know, and you've got some other important policy groups over there in Moscow, too. Carnegie Moscow Center, it's a branch of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And if people have followed my talks that I've given for years, I've exposed the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace as actually being just the opposite of its name. The Carnegie Institute, this institute I'm talking about, back in World War One, actually sent a memo to Woodrow Wilson directing him, this is an Illuminati organization, they were directing Woodrow Wilson to make sure that World War One lasted longer. You may wonder, well, why do they want wars? Because they make big profits off of these wars. All this hinting that's going on, Ukraine, Syria, you know, somebody's making big bucks off of this. And so there in Moscow, you have these different policy planning groups that are just Illuminati policy planning groups. And you've got people in key positions that if you look at their resumes, who they are, you realize, well, these are people that are tied in with the elite, you know? And they have a serious role in Russia making decisions. And so don't Putin, even though Putin talks bad about the Rothschild banks, talks bad about the Rothschilds, talks bad about the Illuminati, so did Hitler. So did Hitler.
Yeah.
But why did they let Hitler come to, you know, and I know this is controversial. Some people and your listeners may not realize this, but I'm fully convinced that the evidence shows that Hitler was brought out of Russia. In fact, the skull that they had in Moscow that they were claiming was Hitler was recently looked at and shown to be a woman's skull. But the whole thing was a hoax. He didn't commit suicide. His double committed suicide. His double was killed in his place. But Hitler had escaped already. And these people that I was helping get out of the Illuminati in the 90s, they had been told when they were in the Illuminati that Hitler had come out, and he had come out because he was Illuminati. He was a programmed multiple. In 1919, they programmed him the script that he was to, you know, rise to power, that he was to lead Germany,
and he was Jewish, correct? So he was basically trying to massacre his own people, correct?
In what way are you saying he was trying to?
Like Hitler, he was, well, you know, with the alleged, Holocaust. You know, they said that, in the history books, it said that, you know, that, or not the history books, but, you know, my history of research, that he was Jewish himself, but he was programmed to do all this stuff, you know, gather people together, you know, it was, you know, all types, you know, and, you know, it's a war, you know, but the thing about it is I think that it was, and I'm not saying, you know, Jewish conspiracy, but I'm just saying that there's always some kind of tie, and then usually during the wars, there's usually a Rothschild on each side profiting from both sides, you know, and that's in there, especially in the World War One, World War Two. But the thing about, I'm just going to get off of the Hitler thing. But what I thought was really interesting too is, real quick, because we're really we got a few minutes left, but I want to tell you that. A lot, you know, the ones that we took in during Project Paperclip, I think that a lot of Nazis went to Argentina, also Mexico, because check this out, for it's in Mexico today, and it's been there for a long time. They have German schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always puzzled me, you know, sort of trying to get the full spectrum idea about it, mm-hmm. you know. Go ahead, I'm just ranting.
I'm trying to think of what thread to move forward on. Argentina was one of the conduits for bringing in, and if the listeners are not familiar, there was Operation Paperclip, which brought in thousands of the worst of the Nazis, you know, and Mengele, who had done research for the Illuminati on trauma-based mind control in the concentration camp, he was brought over, and he carried out programming of our children over here. I dealt with a number of his victims that had been victims of his programming here. And so, you know, yeah, Argentina was one of the conduits. The rat line that they brought these Nazis in, but they brought in not just Mengele, who was like the worst of the worst. They also brought in Nazi scientists that had been studying biological weapons and things like this. So, you know, we start up Fort Detrick's. We brought in Nazi technology about the flying saucers. And, of course, that was made secret. I had somebody in the early 90s that came. He was a scientist / engineer. He came to my house and he talked to me how they had, he was from England, and he talked about how they had tried to recruit him to work in Canada on the secret flying saucer thing and why he had turned it down. But, you know, that's whole, you know, and when I went back and started looking at newspapers in the late 40s, when the flying saucer started appearing, I noticed a pattern when, you know, and the media is controlled. Even back then, the media was controlled. And you look at these articles, and whenever they would report on somebody seeing a flying saucer, they would always have in the article about little green men and Martians and aliens. So they were always linking it to aliens. There would never be any thrust in the article about, well, hey, maybe this is secret American technology. You know, it's always getting people sidetracked thinking, well, these people are probably kooks. And then you start seeing all of these people in the 60s saying that they're abducted by aliens. So everybody, when they think of UFOs and flying saucers, they think aliens. They don't think that, even today, when I listen to people that are MUFON and so forth, they're off on the alien thing. They don't even want to think about, well, maybe these are government flying saucers.
Or it's cult related, or somehow, you know, or they were government related. You know what's really interesting about that, for instance, because the thing about it is they claim that basically it's the Fourth Reich worldwide, and we've incorporated Nazi fundamentalism, and so pretty much they've won. All in all, what do you think? I'm sorry.
Well, the same people that were behind Hitler's rise to power, which was the Illuminati, are the same people that are running things, and they're just as cold-blooded. Their rituals haven't changed, you know. They have some horrendous rituals. They're, by and large, multiple personalities, which allows them to keep their balance, so to speak. They switch personalities. They have some horrendous, horrible, satanic altars, parts of them, that do these rituals. The day-to-day part of them, the day-to-day personality, doesn't have to do those things. That's why they can look you eye to eye and talk and sound like they're, you know, a really wonderful person. Is their personalities are totally different than the personalities that do these rituals.
And it requires basically, you know, human blood, you know, also the blood of animals, but also the blood of children, and not only the blood of children, but the sexual abuse of a child, you know, and a lot of the sex rituals.
For sure.
And you know, that's what really, you know, when people, you know, drop their kids off at daycare and, you know, in schools and you know, we're not in school no more, friends, so it's hard to know what they're teaching our kids, you know, and it's really, it really hits you in the heart because it's always somebody's child. It's always somebody's child. It's always somebody's brother, sister, somebody. And the thing about it is it's going on in plain sight right now. And, you know, not too long ago, there was during Labor Day for it's here in Chicago, they found a child's different limbs and head and everything in a pond in one of the parks in the south side of Chicago. And it's just like where I've done so much research, it's like I can spot it in my head and I know what's cult related and what's not. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people try to dismiss that. And they always try to refer to satanic panic, and you know I hate that, I really do. But the thing about it is going on, it's really happened. And a lot of people wouldn't even knew that if it wasn't for you. And but see, the thing about it was, and I'll go back to what I was saying a while ago, is people when you first came around, you know, in the early 90s, stuff like that. It was really in the dark then. So you got to think about how people, I mean, we're not totally out of the dark. But I think there's a lot at the end of the tunnel. Maybe that's just my optimistic side.
It's the people at the top are totally reprobate. As an example, back in 1972, there was a group, a consortium, the Rockefeller Foundation, Rockefeller's Population Council, World Bank, U.S. National Institute of Health, U.S., that is, and the United Nations WHO, that's World Health Organization. And they started the secret project to create an abortion vaccine. And they actually created it, and then they went around the world to some of these countries like Nicaragua, Mexico, Philippines, giving tetanus shots, which caused the women to have abortions. You know, it was laced with HGC. Abortions, that's murder. You know, this, you know, we've been talking about buggering little boys. Of course, we got homosexuality now that, you know,
it's a household. It's the cool thing now. It's the cool thing. I don't know. No, I'm just.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know. It's just. But and especially with the transgender, I mean, it's just like. And here's what sucks in this world thing. Even if you oppose it, you can't oppose it because you know there's the trick, and then that's the, you know, and this is the trick all in the whole book is the anti. Defamation League, you know, that's why they're the ones that's got you by the you-know-wheres because you're either homophobic, anti-Semite, or racist. And they want the segregation, they want the races to split up because think about it, Fritz, just off the record, me and you talking, if they would find a way to, you know, if they get, you know, white people against everybody, you know what I'm saying, and everybody against everybody, different races, and then everybody's living in their own place and sections, you know, just whatever, wouldn't that be easier to control if everybody was, if the government somehow caused so much racial tension to where it was in fact race war?
Yeah, it's called divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Nobody.
At its best.
Yeah. Our whole culture has been splintered and fractured so that people can't work together and unite. It's the very same thing that makes trauma-based mind control work, and that is they splinter the person's mind into all of these thousands, hundreds and thousands of disassociated parts that they form into different personalities. Well, they might make one personality like the father and another personality dislike their father. Well, you can see the kind of chaos that that leaves the person when they have a whole city of people in their heads that can't get along and work together because they've been programmed differently, you know. One's a Christian, one's a Satanist. Well, the only way that that alter system can function is for the programmer to come in and take control. Likewise, they have splintered the Christian denominations up where we're all, each denomination's been programmed with their own little script and part of truth, and they can't get along. And so, likewise, our culture's been splintered. And so the only way that we function is if we have some really massive, strong power, like the federal government, come in and take control over things. It's just like here in Oregon, you know, they got the Indians down in the Klamath area to protest about the dams that the farmers had built back in the early 20s. These were World War One vets, and they built these dams. They built this dam on Klamath Lake for irrigation water, you know. And then back in the late 90s, the Indians started saying that the sucker fish, which was actually a bottom feeder, was being endangered because they were letting water out of the dam. So the federal government came in and stopped the farmers from getting irrigation water. So what that does is it pits the farmers against the Indians, and, you know, we've got this kind of stuff going on all over this country.
It is. It's nothing but a divide. It's they're trying to split us apart. They're trying to get us to hate each other. They want racial unrest. They want civil unrest. You know, we're running out of time for this show, but, you know, we've covered so much ground tonight. Fritz, is there anything you would like to say, anything you would like to promote, if you're doing any appearances or anything like that?
Well, you know, I, of course, want to tell people about where they can get my books. We've upgraded, thanks to Dolores, we've upgraded my website, pentracks.com, PENTRACKS.com, pentracks.com. They can go there, and if they should be able to order my books through the site. And also, we have started archiving the articles that I write every day on there. And encourage people, if they're interested in the kinds of subjects that I've been talking about, that they can follow me on Facebook. When I get time, I write an article a day and talk about a lot of these issues. Some of them have information that you'll never get anywhere else. I did this research into ancient Mesopotamia, you know, and found out about Kuta and how in ancient Babylon and ancient Assyria, that area, that there was actually, they didn't call him Satan. They had another name for him. Of course, they didn't speak Hebrew, so that's no surprise that they had a different name for him. But they had priests to the god of the dark, the god of
everything that you've accomplished and the hardships you've had to go through.
Oh, get the sun, don't shine.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me on, Lauren, and if people are interested in these subjects, start following the work that I'm doing. Read my book. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. I'm bringing you back soon, my friend, and nothing but the best in your endeavors, and always a favorite of mine. Thank you, pal. Thank you. Have a great
okay.
night, Chris.
God bless you all. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Guys, that was a great show. Richie, guys, that kind of risk everything. Michelle, people.